17. Stand with us. And I'm excited. I am excited. I know where I'm headed, and I can't wait to get you there. You hang with me, amen, for just a little while. And I only have 57 pages of notes. Amen. No, I don't. I have about a page and then a back and a little bit on another. But I want to try to give you something to stir us and to remind us. The subject matter at hand tonight in the text we're going to preach through, Brother Mike, is something every one of us has got to learn how to deal with. I don't care how long or how short you've been saved, everybody has got to be schooled in the subject matter that we're going to preach on tonight. And so you say, who's the message for tonight? It's for you. Amen. It's for you. And I trust the Lord to make that application tonight. Verse number one, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Notice that big exclamation point at the end of verse number one. Jesus continuing said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse number three, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Pretty simple, ain't it? Amen. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I can get verse number three. That's all right. Jesus said, oh, if he trespasses against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. Notice what the apostles, the Bible said in verse number five, said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, this would be where we really want to get to tonight, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Is that what your King James Bible said? Jesus said you can deal with the sycamine tree, and by your faith, it don't even have to be that great. It could be the size of a mustard seed. And you could uproot that sycamine tree. It didn't say cut it down. He said it can be uprooted, buried in the sea, and it would have to obey you because your faith was what it was supposed to be. Amen. Won't make sense. I'll go ahead and give you my thought this evening. I'm dealing tonight with the subject, the struggle with the sycamine. The struggle with the sycamine. Now, that don't make a lick of sense to you right now, but if you'll hang on to your horses, we'll get there in a minute. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. Thank you for bringing us this way. We sure do need your help again tonight. Lord, as we've gathered, Lord, and you've directed our thoughts to center around these verses, and Lord, how important these verses and this teaching of our Savior is. Lord, if we don't learn these lessons, and Lord, we're not grown and schooled in these matters, Lord, we will spiritually be inept, and Lord, we'll fall short. Lord, we'll be miserable all the way to heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you drive some points home into our heart tonight and teach us, Lord, how to walk and live in victory, Lord, in our relationships, Lord, in this world. And, Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Simply put, this evening, I believe we could say that in these verses, Christ schools his disciples about offenses. In particular, they are offenses as they relate among the family of God. When we think about these verses, and as we've read them tonight, and trespasses being committed against us, or maybe us committing trespasses against others, as we'll see tonight, that it is important to understand what Jesus said in verse number 3 when he said, if thy brother, your brother, your sister in the faith, and those that are named among the family of God. And so Christ is not dealing, my friend, with us being mistreated or offended or sinned or trespassed against as it relates to the world and to drunkards and fornicators and idolaters and people that have the spirit of Antichrist within them doing us wrong, but rather he is dealing with the fact of the matter. We'll see in a moment that this is relationships related to the family of God. He is dealing with not only the fact that there are going to be these offenses, but how you and I can maintain our relationships with each other for the glory of God in spite of the ways we are done wrong, in spite of the ways we are spoken ill against, in spite of the ways that we have been offended because of somebody's actions toward us, that it is our job as disciples to truly learn how to deal with one another in these occasions. To do this tonight, we'll jump in. I'll give you several truths and get us to verse number six, and then, amen, we'll be done tonight. And so several observations about in this text about dealing with offenses. Christ in verse number 1 deals with the surety of dealing with offenses. Notice again what he said. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. He didn't say they might come. He didn't say it'll be a coin toss or a roll of the dice whether or not you're going to be offended or sinned against in your walk with God. But my friend, he deals with a surety. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Jesus is saying they're going to come. Mark it down. Get ready. Amen. You're going to be done wrong. You're going to be spoke against. And there are people that are going to do things against you that you're not going to take kindly to. And these are of a surety that you're going to have to deal with offenses in your spiritual journey. I wish it wasn't so. I wish I could stand before you tonight as your pastor and say that since you've been saved and come in the family of God, everybody's always going to treat you right. Nobody's ever going to tell a tale on you. Nobody's ever going to confront you in a wrong manner, a wrong spirit. I wish I could say that tonight, but Jesus teaches contrary to that and reminds us, you better get ready, amen, because it's not a matter of if they come, they are going to come. Amen. Boy, y'all shout so loud on that point, I can't hear myself. Ain't that depressing? Amen. What do you mean, preacher? You mean to tell me I'm going to be hurt in the family of God? You got that right. So if I had known that, I wouldn't have signed up. Amen. Well, amen, I can't help that. Amen. I didn't sign up. I got born into it. Amen. And it sort of has been the alternative of the other family I used to live in. Amen. And you get hurt in that family too. And Jesus is teaching us, amen, don't think just because you're in the family of God, amen, that you're not going to be done wrong along the way. Amen. The surety of dealing with offenses, number 2. Amen. Notice with me the seriousness in dealing with offenses. Here's what Jesus said again in verse number 1 and in verse number 2. Been woe unto him through whom they come. Jesus said that you're going to be offended. That is just the nature of men. Our humanity is going to shine through. Amen. And so we understand this evening that Christ here is sounding the warning about us living a life of offending one another. Now this bears out, and we need to understand this, amen, in light of the previous point in verse number 1, the first statement the Lord makes about the surety of being offended is that we all not only get offended, but we all commit our own fair share of offenses. Now, I know, ma'am, you think you're God's gift to the family of God, but even you offend people. Sir, I know you think you're so spiritual that you always say the right thing and respond in the right way, but the fact of the matter is we're all clothed in a robe of humanity, and we not only have the surety that we're going to be and get offended, amen, but every one of us is going to commit our own fair share of offenses. Amen. Although this is a mark of our humanity, and it is, you don't always say the right thing. You do not always respond the right way. The seriousness that Christ is calling us into is that we should never use our humanity as an excuse. That when we are aware of an offense, we should never be cavalier about offending someone. That if we know someone has been hurt by something we have done or something that we have said, then we ought to be sensitive enough about that, because Christ has taught us the seriousness of offending somebody. Amen. That is a very, very serious matter. He put an exclamation point on it. Amen. Yes, they're going to come, but make sure you're not the one they're always coming by. Amen. Amen. Believe this evening, it would do us all well to understand there's nothing wrong with us walking humbly among one another.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with being kind.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I would argue tonight that the mark of your spirituality, the mark of your Christianity, will be in how you treat others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Some people, it seems like their spirituality is viewed in that they can be more offensive than anybody else in the family of God.
Amen. Right.
That's not a mark. There's a preacher that for years has run around the country talking about and promoting himself as the most controversial preacher in America. Amen. And he's built his whole ministry on being offensive, and see how close he can get to the line of offending people. There is no spirituality in that. Amen. I'm talking about Phil Kidd. All y'all whispering in each other's ear, it's Phil Kidd. Amen. And they're little puppets that have built entire ministries on seeing how offensive they can be and how they can take it to another level and make somebody mad. The mark of our spirituality is not yet you and I being offensive and going the extra mile, my friend, and seeing how we can hurt somebody or stomp on somebody or put somebody down. Amen. It is in how we treat others that are around us. I would argue that your spirituality is measured in how you treat others who have nothing to offer you.
Amen.
How you treat the waitress down where you ate out at this week. Come on, somebody help me. If you're a child of God and part of the family of God, you ought not act like some rude little punk that my friend the waitress is there, amen, to treat you like a king or a queen.
Amen.
Ain't we having a time tonight? I ain't trying to be offended, and some of y'all's getting offended. Amen. The seriousness, Jesus said, amen, you better understand there is a woe associated with and one that is of the family of God. Amen. He said it'd be better for him, it'd be better for her, had a millstone were hanged about their neck and they'd be cast into the sea rather than to offend one of my little ones. And so tonight, the fact is, in our humanity, we do offend. But Christ is saying, when you do, and as you do, don't take that as a light thing.
Right.
Well, that's their problem. They'll have to get over it. That is not anywhere close to what Christ is teaching in this text.
Amen.
Well, I told them the truth. Well, maybe you did and maybe you didn't. But if an offense arises on the other side, that is not to be cavalier. That is not to be taken lightly. That is not to be, amen, ignored when there is an offense among the family of God. I understand that some people wear their feelings on their shoulder. They wear them on their sleeve. They walk around a chip on their shoulder and dare you to knock it off. Amen. And if that's your attitude, you're wrong, because somebody gonna knock it off. Amen. There's just some folk that's like that, and you'll have to forgive me. It's part of my endemic nature. Amen. You walk around a chip on your shoulder and dare somebody knock it off, I'm just prone to probably knock it off some way.
Amen.
I know that ain't right, but amen, grow up. Some people always offended, always offended. You listen to this crowd when they began to talk about their Christian life and their life among the family of God, and they start throwing out terms like everyone, everybody, always. Let me tell you something. You start using that language, it is not an indictment on the family of God. It is an indictment against you. Ain't we having fun? Amen, pastor, preach it on out. Amen, it's going to get better in a minute, but it might be rough till we get there. The seriousness of dealing with offenses. We're living in a society that's offended about everything. Amen, this world, they're offended. Things that have been so commonplace and things that are just normal and scientifically accurate. Amen, ways that we have viewed things throughout the centuries. And now, my friend, people are so offended by it, and somebody would have, amen, and cling to, amen, traditional values. Amen, the cancel culture is what they call it. You know what cancel culture is rooted in? People being offended about everything.
Amen.
Amen. When they said something against me. Amen. They said something about my transgender child. Well, your transgender child's in sin.
Amen.
I can't help that, just like, amen, the others that have drunkards for children, amen, they're in sin, and we just preach against sin. Amen, everybody is offended about everything.
Yes, sir.
Amen, I could preach on this point all night long. I need to hurry up, but some of y'all look like you're squirming, and I'm enjoying it. The seriousness in dealing with offenses, it is serious when we think about it among the family of God. The culture we're living in is so offended about everything, but what I'm seeing in our day is that that same attitude is creeping into the church of the living God.
Amen.
Everybody's offended about every little thing.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And so we're going to have to learn how to deal with it. That brings us to point number three, the steps to dealing with offenses. Amen. In verse number 3 and 4, when we find here, there are at least three main steps given here by Christ on how to deal with offenses. You say, preacher, somebody offended me. Somebody sinned against me. Somebody done me wrong. What do I do? Christ lays it out in simple terms, three steps, and I get the fourth point into the thought and we'll be done. Number one, he says, deal with it by internal examination. Notice the first thing, Brother Tim, that Jesus said. He said, take heed to yourselves. Offenses are going to come. You can't stop them. And when you've been offended, you're going to want to lash out. You're going to want to, amen, you're going to want to jump ahead, amen, in the steps that Christ is going to give, amen. But before there's ever a confrontation and a rebuke, amen, before there's ever a dealing with it, amen, with that offender, you must sit down and have a personal examination.
Amen.
Jesus said, "For you go trying to straighten out your brother, you sit down and you look in on the inside and make sure your life and your heart and your thoughts and your spirit are right with God. You got no right going to try to deal with an offense if you got offenses between you and the Lord." Amen. Amen. To your, amen, internal examination, take heed to yourselves. And we could say tonight, take heed to your own sin.
Right. Yes, sir.
Take heed to your own sin. It may be the reason you've been offended is because you have some offense between you and God. And you take somebody that is in sin, they'll be offended by anything anybody does or says around them.
Amen.
Jesus is giving wise counsel. Amen. Before you shoot off at the mouth and before you go trying to straighten out your brother about what they've done to you, make sure that the problem does not lie within yourself. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to your own sin.
Amen.
Number two, take heed to your own spirit. Jesus is going to give, and we'll deal with it in a moment, the prescription for how we are to come to our brother who has offended us. And Jesus is going to give not only permission to do that, he's going to give a command to do that. But before we're to go to our brother, we're to take heed to ourselves. I think Christ is saying, make sure that you stop and make sure you check your own spirit. Because you may have been offended. And you may have legitimate reasons for why you are offended. But if you try to deal with something and your spirit is not right, you're going to cause more damage and destruction and chaos than if you even dealt with it. I'm for dealing with things. Amen. I believe we ought to deal with things. I think we have a scriptural mandate to deal with things. But I've watched people go and try to deal with things in a wrong spirit and do more damage. It would have been better them to leave it undealt with and walk around grieved in their own heart than deal with it in the spirit they had. You might as well say amen right there. I tell you right now, Bible said we got to sit down and have a talk. Be better for you, man, probably to shut your mouth till you get your spirit right.
Amen.
Sir, it'd be better. Y'all been good to me today. I feel like a dog preaching y'all like this tonight. It's what God laid on my heart. We better be careful, gentlemen, before we go give somebody a piece of our mind and tell them what they've done if our own spirit has not been kept in check. It'd be better to leave it undealt with and walk around wounded and offended if you're not going to deal with it in the right spirit. Jesus said, sit down and internal examination. I told y'all it's tough. Number two, he gives the second step. Now, after there's been an internal examination, there is to be a personal confrontation. Now, if your pew has a seatbelt, reach over there and strap it in and buckle it real tight. Notice in this text the pronouns that are used. I seen here and I noted, Brother Jesse, I noted there is a thee, and he, him. You know, Brother Mo, what I don't read in there? They ain't no they.
Right. Yes.
They ain't no they. There is thy and thee. That's you. And then there's he, him, or we would say she, her. Amen. That is the one that has been the offender. That there is to be a personal confrontation between the offended and the offender. There's no involving anybody else in the matter. Now, I'll be honest, and y'all forgive me, I ain't trying to have a bad spirit, but in 20-something years of pastoring, I've had my fill up to here with people that want to involve all their little buddies and all their little clique in the offenses they have with somebody else in the church.
Amen.
It ain't right, it ain't biblical, it never has been, and it never will be.
That's right.
Brother John, cut me up good and loud because I don't want anybody, amen, not listening to what I say. Well, I just had to get some counsel. A lot of that counsel business is garbage out of the pits of hell.
Amen.
I just need somebody to side with me. You're an idiot.
Amen.
Show me that in the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. I know what I'm talking about because I'm a pastor. I pastor two Baptist churches, and I've had so many attempts of people to try to drag me into their drama. I don't have time for your drama. I don't have time for your drama. I said, I don't have time for your drama.
Yes, sir.
I got my own to deal with.
Yes, sir.
I got my own to deal with. Don't try dragging me into yours and get me to side with you about whatever you're ticked off about.
Amen.
I've watched this nearly split churches, and we've seen it around here. People run around and they're offended and they got something in their crawl and they got to get so-and-so on their side and I got my team and they start wearing their jerseys. That ain't right, y'all. Are we listening tonight? It ain't right.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I'll tell all of us, and this is good wisdom. If they'll talk to you about somebody, it won't be long. You'll offend them and they'll talk about you to somebody else.
That's why, amen,
people that have that, and listen, if that's your problem tonight, I ain't saying you're not a brother or sister. I'm just saying you need to work on it.
Amen.
If I get something, if me and Jesse have something between us, I'm not supposed to go to Jack and say, now, Jack, I'm just going to tell you that boy right there, he hurt my feelings. That ain't how it's supposed to be. So how's it supposed to be? Jesus said, thine thee, go meet with he and him. And sit down personally and work it out. If you involve one other person in it, you have violated the steps and the procedures God said it takes to deal with offenses. You can like that, you can lump it, you can think I'm more spiritual, I know how to handle it and how to say, I'm telling you tonight, it is anti how Jesus schools his disciples in dealing with these matters.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know things on people I shouldn't know about. Some of y'all know things about people you shouldn't know about because somebody else involved you in the drama. That ain't right. That ain't right. I said that ain't right. Ain't we having fun tonight? It ain't right. Jesus said, thy and thee go to he and him. Personal confrontation. See, the reason we don't do that, we ain't big enough. We're not spiritual enough to do it the way Jesus said. We got to have emotional support. Everybody look on up here. If you need emotional support, go get you a dog. Go get you a bunny rabbit. Go get you a goat. And leave God's family out of your drama.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. An internal examination. Deal with it by personal confrontation. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm trying to get the good stuff, Brother Jack. Deal with it between one another and do not involve anyone else.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I don't like you very much right now. Amen. I want my birthday card I gave you back. See me after service. I ain't changing for nothing.
Amen.
I'm telling you's right. Y'all know why it's so quiet in here? Because we've all been guilty of what I'm preaching. All of us has been guilty, and we're all in different stages and trying to learn. And the reason it's so quiet in here, we all know.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Then he gives the third step, and that is deal with it by spiritual affirmations. I love this. Now, I'll put it quickly, and I got to hurry. You say, you ain't even got on the sycamine tree. I'll get there. Amen. Notice with me, the spiritual affirmation is simply this. If you have been offended, if somebody has trespassed against you, Jesus said, after you have examined yourself, rebuke him. Sit down and talk it out and try to find a solution. When that takes place, listen now, really, if I could boil it down to what Jesus has said. He's saying, be spiritual enough. If you are the offender, to say, I am sorry. Amen. And if you are the offended, be spiritual enough to say, I forgive you. That's what he's saying. He is saying that in this, if it is to be reconciled, amen, somebody's got to be big enough and spiritual enough, amen, to be able to say, I am sorry. It's amazing. I didn't start pastoring yesterday. I've been doing this a little while, not as long as some, but enough to know what I'm talking about tonight. And there are some people that every time there is an offense, a trespass, an issue between them and somebody else in the family of God, they never have anything to say I'm sorry about.
You're right.
They can't do it. It's always somebody else's fault. Always somebody else's fault. And every, ain't that amazing? Every issue you've ever had in relationships, the family of God, it's always been somebody else. Ain't ever you that's had to say, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I've had to eat crow so many times. I hate it. If there's anything we Ledbetter men hate to say, and my wife better keep her mouth shut over there tonight. I ain't even going to look at her. I'm going to look at you because you're smiling. Amen. Don't you look at her. Bless God, you ain't on her side. You're on my side. I'm the preacher right now.
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
One of the things we Ledbetter men hate to say is, I'm sorry. Garrett's got that problem. Maybe it's just a man problem. Some of you women, you ain't no better. I am sorry. No, you know what we say? If somebody comes to us and say, you hurt me, then we walk around and we go, well, we start throwing out labels. Oh, y'all buckle up because I'm about to bust it. We start saying things like, well, if they was really saved, they wouldn't have done me that way.
Right.
Oh, you're so spiritual, you know who's saved and who ain't. Just because somebody done you wrong, they're not saved. Or we use these terms like Pharisee and narcissist, and we start labeling people that are really, truly saved and born again. Why is it every time somebody does this wrong, we just can't say, you know what, they had a bad day and they done me wrong.
Yes, right.
May just be the wrong. It may not be that they're any of the labels. And we could list dozens of things I've heard people say about the people that are a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Ain't we quiet? I heard a gnat burp over there in the corner. Brother Riley, we got to learn to be spiritual enough to say, you know what, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I shouldn't have said what I said.
Amen. You're right.
People have turned it around on people. I've tried to follow this prescription before. And I'll be honest, say some folk, they don't want any kind of resolution of anything that's between them. And if you try to do the things the Lord has told us and instructed us to do, for you know it, they'll turn it around back on you. And all of a sudden, you're the bad guy.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, do we want resolution? Do we want unity? Do we want peace among the family of God?
Yeah.
Jesus said both sides are going to have to learn to give spiritual affirmation. Sometimes you're going to have to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you're going to have to say, I forgive you. And if you can't do that, you ain't as spiritual as you think you are.
That's right.
Well, I tell you right now, I'm done with them.
Yes, sir.
Really? Really, are you that shallow?
Amen.
Are you that silly?
Right, right.
Are you that pathetic? Y'all offended yet? I'm trying to find a word that knocks your little chip off your shoulder. Are you that immature? You know what all that just tells me? It just tells me there's no spiritual affirmation in your life. You have no spiritual positivity to tap into, so you're going to remain negative all the days of your life. And that's why you can't fit among the people of God, and you got to be a lone wolf.
Right.
A sideshow, disjointed from everybody.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Amen. I'm a preaching her down tonight. Y'all may need to pack up the bags tonight. Amen. Are y'all listening? I don't know why I'm preaching like this. I'm just telling you, I love what God's doing around this church, and if it's going to sustain, we got to learn how to deal with one another.
Amen. That's right.
I tell you, they hurt me for the last time. Jesus said, if they trespass against you and you have to deal with it, and they say they're sorry, and you say, I forgive you. And then 45 minutes later, they call you back up on the phone and say, I'm sorry, I said it again. Jesus said, you got to do it all over again. I'm sorry, I forgive you. He does it even up to 7 times in a day. Now, the first time, I'll be honest, first time I've got the place I can do that pretty good. But it's at 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th. By the time we get the 7th phone call, I'll be honest, that starts wearing on my spirituality. Anybody else like that?
Amen.
I mean, at the 7th time, I'm wanting to go, what's the deal here?
Amen.
Come on now. Am I the only one? Amen. It's easy, 1st, 2nd, even 3rd time. But buddy, I mean, there comes a time it starts stressing on you. Is that right? Jesus said, if you're spiritual, if you'll deal with it spiritually minded, I ain't even got to my thought. I'm an introduction. Y'all believe that? Amen. If y'all just smiled more, we'd be further down the road. The steps. Notice with me the struggle. This is what I want to preach on. I think I can throw it out to you quick. The struggle after dealing with offenses. Jesus gives us, how many of y'all agree with me, what he's just taught and what I've presented to you is pretty tough. Even for the most spiritual among us, what Christ is schooling us in this text is not easy. And the disciples acknowledge that in their response to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we're not saying we don't understand. We understand too clear what you've just taught us. Lord, we know exactly what you have laid out. And Lord, it's hard. It's strong. It's tough. Lord, we understand it. We know that these offenses are going to come. We understand there are going to be issues. But what they are doing when they asked the Lord and requested Him, increase our faith, they are acknowledging the struggle that takes place once we've been offended. Lord, we hear you, but you're going to have to help us.
Amen.
To maintain, listen to this, to maintain a right walk with God and his family after being offended is sometimes one of the most difficult things you'll ever do in your Christian and church life.
Amen.
Christ acknowledges this himself and see them maybe walking down the road and he's teaching them this and they say, Lord, this is tough, increase our faith. Lord, this is hard. We need your help. Lord, we understand what you've said, but Lord, that just seems to press on us and maybe even would be an impossibility in the power of our own flesh. Christ himself, I see as he points and he says, if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can You can, notice, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Amen. Amen. So Christ is drawing a parallel. Are y'all ready for this? Christ is drawing a parallel, painting to them a very vivid picture by pointing to the sycamore. What is represented in that sycamore relates to how they deal with being offended by the family of God. Amen. Let me give you several truths about the struggle with the sycamore. Amen. Number one, consider the bitterness of the sycamore. The fact of the matter is, offenses are going to come. Trespasses are going to have to be dealt with. What we have to be on guard about and struggle with is the bitterness that follows the offense. The sycamore tree in appearance looked just like another tree that was in the land there in the days of Christ, known as the mulberry tree. From looking at them, you couldn't tell the difference. They were about the same size. They grew the same kind of leaf. They produced even a very similar looking fruit to one another. The mulberry tree produced what was known as a very sweet fruit and was known as the rich man's tree. However, the sycamore, in our study that Christ is pointing them to, provided a fruit that, though it appeared to be the same as the mulberry fruit, it was set apart by its bitter taste and was known as the poor man's tree. One fruit, both fruits looked the same, but the fruit was known, of each tree by the way that it tasted. The fruit was known to be bitter. And it was prevalent in the land when they would pluck the fruit off of the sycamore tree. That poor man's fruit, it didn't have sweetness, but it had bitterness. And so great was the bitterness. And literally they said it could only be eaten a little bit at a time over time. They would eat a little bit and put it away. They would chew on that bitter tasting fruit. When they'd finally choke it down, they'd reach in their bag and they'd take another bite and they'd chew on it some more. All the while, they're going through something that is a bitter experience, chewing on something that is bitter, taking their time and time and time again. Hey man, they bring it out. They look at it. They know what it's going to taste like. They just chew on it over and over and over again. I thought about this and what a picture of our struggle with bitterness after we have been done wrong. Why is it that some people can't get over what somebody said about them? Because they're still chewing on it 20 years later. Why is it they can't move past the I'm sorry and I forgive you? Amen. Why is it even after that has been experienced, they still have something that is between them every time they see that individual? They mad friend, they reach in there, amen, the pocket of their heart and they pull it out again and they chew on it and they chew on it and they chew on it. Why? Because they have a struggle with bitterness. And my friend's going to have to be dealt with if we're going to have a right relationship to each other.
Amen. That's right.
Say, how do I know if I'm dealing with that in my life? How do you feel toward the one when you see the one that done you wrong, said something wrong, when you see them in the church? How do you feel about them? What thoughts cross your mind? When they come up in conversation, in your conversation with other people, are you tempted and prone to open your mouth and run them down?
Amen.
To bring up their past and their failures and their humanity? And all the while, you don't even understand what you're doing. Every one of those conversations is pulling out the bitter fruit, chewing it one more time. Boy, this is good preaching tonight. Some people are going to live the rest of their days of their Christian life. They're going to live them in great bitterness. You wonder why nobody can get along with you. You're bitter. Wonder why every relationship falls apart, because you're bitter. You chew on the same old junk. Eating poor man's fruit. And God has saved us and offers us rich man's fruit. Rather than live a life of sweetness, we just live our life chewing on the same old bitter fruit. Amen. I'm a trying to preach. Amen. We're doing a pretty good job, ain't we? Anybody else need to hit the altar? There are times I'm so tempted, Brother Tim, if I'm being honest. I'll see certain people or I hear about certain people. If I'm not careful and I don't watch it, I'm so prone. I want to pull that fruit out one more time. You know what I've learned? It don't taste any better today than it's been tasting for years. It ain't ever going to get better till you change the tree you're eating out. Notice with me number two. Anybody getting help tonight? I know it's tough, but are we getting help tonight? The bonds. I call this the bonds, the ties, the associations of the sick of mind. There are several observations in the sick of mind that are found in a believer struggling with forgiveness and with bitterness. Number one, I'll note it under this heading, dryness. This tree, this sycamine tree, it requires dry soil and thrives in dry environments. Some people tonight, they're in a struggle with offenses and sins committed against them, offenses and wrongs and bitterness and forgiveness. You know why? Because really the struggle is with becoming dry in your spiritual life. So long as you're dry, you'll never be able to win the battle. Destruction, not only dryness, but destruction. The root system of this tree, it entangles, the entangling of its root system destroyed wells and cisterns. Even in the land of Israel, they would have laws not much unlike some of the regulations we have across our own land about what you can do and plan and build and those matters. The sycamine tree was known to create such destruction. And its root system would go down and literally choke off the flow of water in wells and in cisterns. You know what bitterness and unforgiveness does in the life of a child of God? Cuts off the water flow. Creates destruction in your spiritual life that is going to leave you void of any kind of spiritual thriving at all. This was interesting. A bond to the sycamine tree is not only dryness and destruction, but it has an association with death. You know what they use, the kind of wood they use to make biers and coffins in the days of Jesus? They use the wood of the sycamine tree. It's associated with death. If you're not careful, if you don't learn how to deal right in these relationships, you better listen to what your pastor's telling you tonight. It is going to kill you. Some people don't even understand that they're building a wooden sycamine box around their spiritual life. Amen. It's associated with this bond of decision. They planted these sycamine trees on purpose where the crossroads of different roads would be. They provided shade and these travelers, these journeyers, these pilgrims would come to these crossroads. You'd be there at the sycamine tree. They would see it and they would have to make a decision on what direction their life was going to go. And I say tonight to all of us, oh, Lord, Be careful what decisions you make when your feelings have been hurt. The worst thing, and I know this because it's been experienced, and there are times, I hate to admit this, I hope y'all don't think less of me. Some of y'all may want to have them cards and scratch them real kind things you said about me today after you hear what I'm about to confess to you. There have been days when I've been hurt and wounded and offended. Y'all ain't going to believe this. I've thought about quitting. It's crossed my mind. Don't you look at me so past. Probably in a day or two, you've thought the same thing. The most dangerous and the most vulnerable time of your spiritual life will be when you are hurt and have to make a decision about what direction you're going to go. Can we be honest tonight? I'm not being mean. There are people that ought to be sitting in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight that made decisions because they were hurt. I'm not being mean, I'm being honest. And were it not for the grace of God, I may not be here tonight. I know we're not supposed to admit that. We on live broadcast internet TV tonight. Are y'all listening? You have a decision to make tonight about what direction you're going to go when you're dealing with forgiveness and bitterness in your life. Amen? Let me give you the good part. Y'all ready for this? You say, dear Lord, there's a good part. There's a good part. Notice what Jesus said. You might say unto this sycamine tree, I love this, be thou plucked up by the root. Brother Larry, the Lord didn't say chop the tree down. Why? Because if you just chop down what's on the surface, you don't understand it's going to grow back. That's why some tonight are struggling with the same relationships and the same people that they have had offenses with in the past. They can't ever say, get over it once and for all, because, amen, all they're trying to do is chop the tree down. Jesus said you don't need to chop it down. If you will have faith, you can go beyond chopping it down, and it can be plucked up by the root like it was some little dandelion in your flower bed. You can reach down to that large struggle, that large issue by faith. It can be uprooted completely. Something that is impossible becomes possible by the power of faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And so we see the bitterness and the bonds, but notice what Christ said. Amen. Once you're able to pluck it out by faith, once God, amen, once your faith in God and your walk with God has enabled you to pluck it up, notice the burial of the sycamine. Jesus said, and be thou planted in the sea. Jesus said, you can get beyond what offenses have been committed against you.
Amen.
Jesus said, only way to do that, it's got to be uprooted, plucked up, and then planted in the sea. Here's what I thought about. Now this is big now. This is big. Boy, this is big. Where did Jesus put our sin?
Amen.
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 Where did the prophet Micah say he had done with our offenses against him? The Bible said he cast them into the depths of the sea. Like what the old color preacher said, he hung a no fishing sign up right there just to tell the devil, leave him alone.
Amen.
Amen. What Jesus is saying, this is big now, sister, this is big. Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. Now you got to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith. You acknowledge the struggle, and it's going to be a struggle, but if you'll do it by faith and you'll trust God and you'll follow God, you'll be able to take those offenses against you and deal with them like God dealt with your offenses against him. You say, I ain't God. That's not what I'm preaching. But we have been saved and God lives in us and Christ lives in us and the Holy Ghost lives in us. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's greater than any offense that has been committed against you. Amen. I got this open. I need to take a drink, but I just feel like preaching. I don't even want to stop and take a drink. Ain't you glad Jesus buried our sin in the sea? He said, I will hold their iniquities and their sins against them no more. No more. And I say today, amen, it is possible by faith in God's word, faith in our God, faith in our Christ, faith in his forgiveness toward us, to exercise that same forgiveness to those that have done us wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That ain't for the carnal minded. That ain't for the crowd that want to deal with everything emotionally.
Amen.
See, all this ain't hens don't. They hurt my feelings. I ain't talking about that silly stuff. It's as simple as, I feel like you've done me wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry I shouldn't have done it. I forgive you. And by the power of faith, plant all of that in the sea and walk away and say, no more.
Amen.
No more. Because here's the thing, and Jesus said it, they come to you seven times in a day. Guess what? They're probably going to offend you again. Here's how you know if you've buried the offense. When they offend you the next time, do you go, I'm so over this. Oh, did y'all hear the gut punch? I think I just punched myself. And then you start talking, oh, we done been through all this. I'm tired of dealing with all this. That is an indication you know nothing about plucking up, planting the sycamine.
Amen.
Say, it's their fault, it's their fault. No, here's what Jesus said. It don't hinge on them. Jesus said, that sycamine, if you say to it, be plucked up and planted in the sea, here's how he ended it, Brother Mo. He said, it shall obey you. You hold the key to sending the bitterness out of your life. See, the problem is we don't have no spiritual authority, spiritual power in our life to command it in Christ, through Christ, by faith out of us. And so we just live in it.
Amen.
And we live in it, and we live in it, and we live in it. And I love the family of God. Y'all see this hair falling out? That's from dealing with the family of God who don't know how to deal with offenses.
Amen.
And it's my mission. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I may drop dead. I'm 44 years old. I could have a widowmaker heart attack tomorrow. I'm ready to go. Ain't nothing between me and God tonight. Far as I know, ain't nothing between me and nobody else. But if he gives me 25 more years in this world to preach, I am dead set intent on breaking that in the people of God. Learn how to deal with offenses.
Amen. Amen.
Some of y'all started to get it, and I'm glad. Amen. We all got to grow in it. We all got to be reminded of what we preached tonight. I ain't tried to offend nobody. I know I preach strong. I know it's tough. I know it's tight. I know all of us are guilty of it. That's why it's been so quiet in here. What are we going to do about it? Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, what do I do? Take heed to yourself. Get on this altar tonight here in a minute and say, Lord, search me. See, it's too, Lord, I got to quit. It's too easy. You go, I didn't do nothing. That's too easy. They come to you, I didn't do nothing. Well, why don't we pause for a minute and say, Lord, search my heart. Lord, I need to take heed to myself, and I may have a blind spot. Anybody else? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Any of y'all ever realize you had a blind spot you didn't even see? Amen. Say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Oh, man. Because I've lost friendships I should have never had to lose because I did not live what I preached to you tonight. And it's on me. I've opened this big mouth and put my foot in it and choked on it. And had friends have to come to me and say, did you say that about me? Yeah, but it what? Well, why would you even? I've been in them motel rooms and had them conversations and them with tears in their eyes going, you hurt me. And me have to say, I'm sorry. And then you live with that all the days of your life. People who could have been good friends, that I've watched them from a distance. To be honest, I need them in my life. But Big Mouth Ledbetter messed it all up. See, them people you just discard and throw away, you're going to need them one day. You're going to need them one day. You may think you don't need this church, you're so spiritual, you don't need it. The fact of the matter is, if you're a child of God, you need this place. Whether you like everybody and have everything in common with everybody in here or not, does not negate the fact we need one another. We need one another. I've made it my mission. I learned my lesson years ago in that motel room. Ledbetter, you better be careful what you say. I don't want to lose no more friends because I opened my mouth. Amen. Well, I don't know what to do. May have to take heed to ourselves. Some of us may have to sit down and have some conversations. So I don't like all that. Be okay. If your spirit's right, you can handle it. Be better sit down and be a little uncomfortable for a minute and get it all buried rather than that feeling of discomfort you get when you see them walk in the church and they're coming down the same aisle that you're walking down. And sit down and say, let's just get it right. Let's get it buried. We need each other. Amen? Amen.